since this is our last year before Pesach, we definitely have to talk about Pesach stuff. But in line with our other Yom Tovim, we'll tie it into Mezuzah, hopefully, at the end of this year. But this is, I think, an exciting Pesach topic, which I have never heard of this minhag beforehand. I'll be honest. Does anyone here take a piece of their afikomen after it's over and tie it to the door for the remaining part of the year?
Remaining part of the year?
The year, for the year.
I guess you mean like in a bag or something. It'd be hard to tie a piece of matzah.
Specifically without a bag, and that's going to be a huge problem. I was very careful not to say in a bag. You take a piece of
matzah,
you take a piece of matzah, your remaining matzah, you stick a hole through the matzah, you put a string through the matzah. It could be this big, I don't know. You know, small piece. You look at me like I'm crazy. That's what I thought.
I'm just trying to understand the whole.
Okay, so we'll read you.
Wait, which door are you putting
it on? Not a clue. Says the Gemara in Pesachim. Gemara in Pesachim. File what I just said to you in the back of your head, and now let's start from the beginning. The Gemara in Pesachim, not talking about Pesach, not talking about anything, says that if you hang bread, general bread, hang anything, any type of bread, matzah, the comment doesn't distinguish. If you hang bread from the bayis, kosher le'anius. It says if you hang bread from your house, it is a sign, or it's an indicator that you will become poor. That's what it says. Kida amri inchi, like people say, tala silsa, tala mizone. If you hang your silsa, silsa is what? Silsa could be solas, it could be like flour, it could also be a basket. We'll get to the Rashi in a second, or the Rashbam. If you hang this basket, tala mizone. It's like you're hanging your food. In other words, your food will be bad. Flo amran elarifta. This is only talking about bread. Aval bisra v'kavri, other types of food, meat, and other foods. Whoa, it doesn't apply. Less rumba. You with me? Says the Rashbam. What are we talking about over here? It doesn't give you much guidance. Tola bebeso. What does that mean? Hatola pito. If you hang your bread, ba'avir, in the air, bitoch sal echad, in one basket, then it's going to cause poverty. Tolasil, so what did that mean? Sal, a basket, upas bisocho. So in other words, you have an express gemara over here, in Maseches Pesachim, which says, if you hang bread from the air, I don't know what that means, I guess you hang it from a ceiling or a door or whatever, a doorknob, this is going to cause poverty in your home. Simply put, without giving much of a deeper explanation, it shows you don't value. I don't know, I'm trying to give a.
I'm going
to
ask a question on this right now.
Okay, wait, one second. First, let me just explain to you what I understood this simply, a Dafyomi style. If I was just running through this Gemara, trying to give a simple pshat. Simple pshat would be is that you hang something from the door, it shows you're not valuing bread, you're just chucking it over here or hanging it over there. I don't know. It says bavir. I just says it. I'm just reading the words. The words say tali bebesa. You hang it in your house. Kosher anius. It's hard for an. It will cause for poverty. Yeah.
Days, through all the tours I've taken around here.
Okay.
They've always shown that because there was no refrigeration, or whatever, in order to keep food away from the rats.
Good. Okay, says the Gemara, if you do that, it's kashul anis. You could become poor. Rashi over Rashbam, and Rashi says the same thing. Rashbam is on the page here, but Rashi's also on the page. He says, Hatola pito ba'avir betok sal echad, if the same words as Rashbam, you hang the bread in the air in a basket, and he says, it's people say that it's cause of poverty. Yeah? And again, it's only a cause of poverty if it's salo upito like be'echad. You put the bread in the basket in the air. A Gemara. That's all I have from you. Shulchan Aruch HaRav, lived 300 years ago, paskins this Gemara and says, you know, in his Sefer Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he has laws called Shmiras Gufo, which is laws about taking care of, you know, your health and your livelihood, whatever. He says like this, he paskins this Gemara, and he brings it down, he codifies this halacha. Everything is straight up in a Gemara. Now, Shulchan Aruch obviously doesn't say this, but I don't know where he would say it, but that is the background of our topic. Now, before we get to the Afikoman, I have another question. There is an explicit, express halacha which seems to contradict this, and it has to do with Pesach as well. New? And it's coming up. I'll give you the hint. It's coming up. B'dikas Chametz. It's a week from tomorrow. Yeah, week from today. Week from today. No, 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Sorry, 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today. I know. It gets me nervous. It gets me nervous. I keep on saying, the earlier you think it is, you know, the more you think you gotta get prepared. But yeah, 2 weeks from today, and Mirtz Hashem, everyone's gonna be doing this. You're gonna do B'dikas Chametz. And then what do you do? No, let's ask the Langbaum children, what does your father do? You ever been up for B'dikas Chametz? What do you do with the leftover Chametz? Over 10 pieces, where do you put it?
Burn it.
Yeah, but that's the next morning. What do you do until the next morning? Where do you put it? Ask your father, you're going to watch. What?
You hide it.
And then you find it.
Yeah, you find it. Now what do you do with it? So don't worry, there's no right answer. Shulchan Aruch says what to do with it. He says whatever you do with it, make sure that you don't
hide it.
No, he doesn't say that. That's what you would have liked to be. Yeah, but you don't know. You're right. No, so don't forget about it. Hide it. Meaning, put it in a place
and you know where it is.
Where you know where it is. I'll read you Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, what should you do with it? He says, fine. He says, "Yichve alav kli." You could like give her, you know, cover it up or whatever. O yitlenu ba'avir, or hang it from the air. That's what he tells you to do. O yanichene b'socha makom shein achbar yachalavo, or put it in a place where a weasel or any animals running around your house can't get it. So, what are you supposed to do with that chametz? You're supposed to make sure it's hung up well. Or put in some drawer, closet, so that it doesn't get lost. That's what we do. We put it in chametz usually in a high drawer where you know, kids can't get in, and in you know, in the kitchen, special drawer, you know, right there. And then in a basket or whatever, in the plastic bag, whatever it is, whatever you have, or the paper brown bags for environmental safety or whatever it is, right? So the plastic, the paper bags are I think better for the environment than the plastic, but. Exactly. I defer to whatever my wife tells me. I'm a good, to leave that up to her. And so, but that's how you keep it. Shulchan Aruch says, what are you supposed to do with it? Hang it. So that goes against everything we just said. If you have a Gemara in Pesachim that says, don't hang bread, you cause poverty, then why does Shulchan Aruch say, hang it when you want to take care of it?
Because that you're not going to eat.
So what's the obvious answer? So a couple of obvious answers. One of them, Dr. Levinson is saying. One answer is that, well, look, what's the reason, says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, that you're not supposed to hang bread because it will cause poverty because you're showing you don't care about bread. But this, what's the point of this bread? This bread is a dead duck. This bread is a dead man walking. This bread is not going to be bread anymore. This bread is dead. It's gone. You're not going to eat this bread anymore. So says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, it's totally fine. What's another obvious answer? The whole reason why you're not going to hang is because... Like, but why is it caused poverty? Because it's why...
Mezalzel,
because it's degrading to it. Here, why am I hanging the bread? No, but the other one, I'm hanging it, why? Because it's coveted. It's a coveted. I don't want it to a weasel to come get into this bread and spread it all over my house, or a rat come through my house and get it. So I'm putting the bread in a high spot, specifically out for covered for the bread. It's if it's not derech bizayon, then it's fine. Another answer is, what did Rashi and Rashbam say? The only time it was forbidden, when you hung bread in a
basket.
So if you're not hanging the bread in a basket, I don't know how you hang it, but I guess you put all your bread on a towel, I don't know, on a napkin, probably not such a smart idea, in a high drawer, then even hanging from a drawer or whatever, then it wouldn't be a problem as well. So you've got a couple of answers to deal with our basic first problem of how are you allowed, as Shulchan Aruch say, you're allowed to hang You're supposed to hang the bread after Bedikas Chametz, and the simple answer is if it's done for a mitzvah, or if it's the bread is a dead man walking, or if it's for a kavod for the bread, then for sure you're allowed to do it.
Yeah. To Henry's point, if the whole reason that people would back in the day hung it was to preserve it because it was chashuv, and they didn't want the animals to get to it, it's not really it's not a degrading act. So why is it viewed in the
That's a great question. Obviously, he's a little bit correct, but I don't know. At some point, it obviously went from being degrading to being smart. But the question is, well, what do we do now? So the upshot, the answer so far, what we've seen is, if you're doing it in a way which is not degrading, either because it's for the either so you don't get a weasel go through your house and erev Pesach with your chametz, or for a kavod for the bread, or to protect the bread, then it would seem to be permitted. If it's done in a regular, normal way without thinking, I don't know, you just walk into your house, instead of putting it in the drawers, you just hang it up. So then that would be degrading, because you're not hanging it up because you're doing it for any specific purpose. You're doing it because you're either too lazy to go put it back in the drawer, so you just hang it up from the doorknob. That would already be borderline on a bizayon, degrading for the bread.
By the way, a very interesting little piece of Torah.
Okay.
Regarding that.
Yeah.
When Lavan spoke in front of before his father.
Yeah.
Rashi calls him a Rasha.
Yeah.
And then when the brothers, Yosef's brothers, spoke before Yaakov and told, you know, and gave the idea about Hamor and everything. Rashi calls them Chachma.
Yeah.
Mir Mavachachma spoke.
What's the difference? How come they speak over here? So
because in both cases, in Lavan's case, it was a lack of kavod for his father.
Yeah.
And in the other case, it was because they were giving kavod.
Exactly.
To his
so the way you do something, makes a big difference.
That's what I
it's an excellent, beautiful. So now we move to our feature presentation, the Shua. Okay, we're in 1600s. I'm reading to you a Shua. Knock your socks off. Okay, ready for this? End of the 1600s. I think Shua is 1600s. Yep. Yesh Nohagen. Some have the minug. Likach chaticha me'afikomen, to take a piece of the afikomen, v'osin bo nekev, make a hole in the afikomen, v'tole osa, and hang it bikir, by the door, v'tole and hang it, v'kach kol ashana, hang it in that place the entire year. V'lon, you're with me. So now the late 1600s, there's clearly a minug to hang a piece of the afikomen on the door. Says the Shua, v'lo nimtza minug zeh b'shum sefer. I have never seen such a minug in any sefer that I've ever seen. U'afi ani ezdaiti, in my humble opinion, lav shapir avdi. It's a mistake what people are doing. Why? What's his next line? Tavi b'zayin wa'ochlim. It's a degrading to the food. V'gam amru chazal. The rabbis also say, what Gemara does he quote? Gemara in Pesachim. Hatola pito, if you hang your bread, yitle parnasaso, you're going to become impoverished. Ubefrat, specifically, shatona chatika shalafi komen b'misamer. They take like a nail and you bang it in. He says, what degrading is this? Elim rotsu l'kaim aminug. You want to keep this minug? You have this minug? Your father did this minug? Your grandfather did this minug? What should you do? Yikach davar muat me'afikomen, take a small piece of the afikomen, wrap it up, linso etzlo bikiso, and keep it in your pocket the entire year. Ratzel omer betoch hoizenzak. What's hoizenzak? Blushin Ashkenaz. No? It's Yiddish, what's hoizenzak? That's what he says. Blushin Ashkenaz. It's German, it's nice. 1600 German. Hoizenzak, I don't know.
By the way, I can think of a reason how that minhug started.
Okay, hold on 5 seconds to tell me. I need to read two more lines. V'usugula lahatzil min agazlonim. It's a segula to ward off thieves. Olavriach hakluyos mimeno. I don't know what that is. Kimat matza lashon meriva. Matza has to do with fighting. Targum shal masu meriva, the Russian of the Jews fought in Masu Meriva. What does Targum Unkle say the word Meriva is? Matsusa. O yikach dover mame afikomen, or if you don't want to keep it in your pocket, take a piece of the afikomen, vianiach bebeso, put it in your house, b'makom mutzna, in a hidden place, mitam anal, because of this reason, to ward off thieves. Azoy zok deshua. He quotes that there's a minhag to hang it from the door. He tells you, don't do that, but you want to keep the minhag, put it in your pocket or keep it in your house.
So yeah. The minhag to save a small piece of afikoman from year to year and burn it the next year?
So great, hold on that thought for a second. We'll get to that at the end. It's a good point. He doesn't say that. The Shua says you're supposed to keep it in either on the door. Well, some hang it from the door. He says that's wrong because of our Gemara and Psachim. But he notes that there is this minhag to keep the afikoman and to put in your pocket, wrap it up, put it in your pocket, or hang it, hide it in your house. Does anyone here do this? Room of 15 people, not one person does this. Yeah, I've never heard this in my entire life. Yeah?
I never had a leftover afikoman ever.
Oh, why? Why not? Because?
You have to eat the...
Oh, because you have to eat. We're going to get to your problem in a second.
So anyway,
the guard was a great point, no?
But I do what I just told you.
Yeah? Well, you just save a piece. Okay, we're going to have a problem. So Garman's got a good point. How are you going to save the afikoman? What's the afikoman like? It's like...
Buy an extra box of
it's like carbon Pesach. But your carbon Pesach you're not supposed to leave over.
I'm saying, what do you do with it for the year? You don't put it in your pocket or hang it up?
No, it's a small... keep it in our Pesach box.
Pesach box. Interesting. And then, every Pesach, you take it out and you burn with the chametz. Interesting. So we're going to get to your...
That's what I do with the lulav, but I don't...
I'm going to talk about that in a second. Yeah, comes along the Magen Avraham. Now... we're going to talk about it.
Now this you're going to hang it from my door.
It's a Hungarian.
No, so it's good. It's good. So we're going to tie. We'll tie it all together. Comes on the Magen Avraham. Now, in a halacha which has nothing to do with anything. That's why maybe people don't know about it. Since halacha is that no one's learned. So Ilkhus Yontif. Because Ilkhus Yontif generally has to do with, it's not about a specific Yontif. It has to do with a lot of cooking laws and other laws. What malachas you're allowed to do on Yontif. People don't learn this so much. In the line in a Magen Avraham, Shulchan Aruch talks about making holes in foods on Yontif. Nothing to do with Pesach, just make a hole in food. It's an Isra Malacha. Says the Magen Avraham in a very cryptic line. He says, that's fine. He says, the Tzarech Shinoi Leid Hashem. He says, Vim Kain, he says, if you do something different when you make the hole, it's fine. He says, Vim Kain, Mutter Linkov Chatichas Afikomen. It's mutter to make a hole in the afikoman. It's not a problem of doing a malacha on yontif, but pesach l'tloso to hang it. D'lo kayesh machmirin. Not like those who are machmirin and say it's a problem of yontif of making holes in food. Clearly, the Magen Avraham had in his wheelhouse this minhag. It was an obvious to him that there was this minhag existed that you would take an afikoman and hang it from the door. Now, so what's my problem? How does that Magen Avraham get rid of our Gemara in Psachim, which says hanging stuff, bread, is a problem? So now you got a couple of answers. Answer number one is, what are you going to say to me? Yeah? Hello? Based on everything we did, you got all the tools now in your... why is it mutter to hang this afikoman bread?
Because it's for school.
Because it's not for any bizayon. It's not for degrading. On the contrary, it's a positive reason, says the Sefer Eitz HaTzadik. It's totally fine. The Shvus Yaakov... Now, look at the Shari. If you look at the Shari Tshuva says like this, in Hilchos Pesach, he writes, he quotes this minhag. He says, he has no idea why this minhag developed, he says. Not a clue. Okay, we're going to get to your reason in 1 second. First, I'm going to read to you, and then I'll call you. If I forget, remind me in a second, and you'll show me. First, I want to read to you what he says about, he's never heard of this minhag. He says, he doesn't know any reasons behind the minhag, but it's just done. 477, if I could find it for you right here. Okay, he says... Oh, he says, Ayin Berhinte, who quotes this minhag, he says, Ayin Bishvus Yaakov, who's the Chok Yaakov, is a Shlo Shamatam was that. He never heard any reason for this. The Kitzur Shwa says it's Bizo Yochlin, like we said, the Shwa said it's degrading for the food. He says, Lo Yadati Ma Bezeh Bizo Yochlin Yesh Bezeh. What degrading aspect of there to hang up the Afikam? Not degrading at all. He says, Umeolam, Ra'isi Avosai, V'rabosai noagin kain. So in the late 1700s, he's writing, I've seen my father do it, my Rebbe, everyone hangs the afikoman. He says, v'chein kasa Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says, v'ein kan bizoy mitzvah. It's not degrading, but it's zikaron yitzias mitzrayim. It helps you remember yitzias mitzrayim. That's what he writes. Okay? All year. So now, what's the reason? What do you want to say? Yeah?
All right. I learned this from Rabbi Fabian Schoen.
Okay, let's hear it. Yeah.
Pasuk in Hallel says, Isru Chag Ba'avosim. Tie up the holiday with ropes. That's literally right?
Yeah.
That actually means the Kohen Chagig or whatever.
Okay, but yeah.
But we learned from that, Rabbi Schoenfeld said, that you should, the Isru Chag Ba'avosa means that you tie up, to remember everything that you learned on the holiday.
Uh-huh, you retain it, you want to retain it,
And now when we come to the Afikoman, we say you're not allowed to eat after the Afikoman. Yeah. I didn't hear from Rabbi
Okay.
So, this was my own thoughts on why, possibly. So when you learn, when you eat the Afikoman, afterwards you're not supposed to eat anything else. It's supposed to, the taste is supposed to remain with you.
So you want it to remain, you want to retain taste.
You want to retain. So basically, if you want to remember the holiday,
you keep it.
Afikoman, take the pasuk Yisru Chag Ba'avosim.
Excellent.
And go ahead.
And I think that
the same answer, because the way you learn on Pesach is literally
Yitzhak Yisrael. Correct, and I think that's what he's getting at. And I think that's the same thing with the Sukkah as well, even though we have other reasons. It's beautiful. And another way to get, it's excellent, and I think it's going to really tie it all together. It's a beautiful minhag. That's how we save the world.
Together.
Rabbi Ariely always says, Rabbi Ariely always used to say, he says, keep those shanas. He doesn't like when people throw it on his shul. So he says, keep it in your car because it's a skua for shmira, which is brought down the Piskei Tshuvos as well. That idea, that's where he got it from. And this same idea, this idea of saving the mitzvah, the matzah, is a skua. It's for shmira, for safety. But how are you allowed to hang it from the ceiling? How are you allowed to hang it from the door? So we said one reason. I got another reason. It's not in a basket. You're just taking it and hanging it straight up. So it's totally fine like that. I hear you. We need a deal. I had a more halachic problem, and that's Mr. Gutterman's problem. I think Mr. Gutterman's asking a very, very strong question, which the Sefer HaTeres Paz spends about 6 pages trying to address. And Zvichi, he says, your question, he says, what do you mean? How are you going to weave over the Afikoman? You don't do it with Afikoman. You don't weave over the Afikoman. Afikoman is the only thing you're not supposed to weave over because it's reminiscent of the Karban Pesach. It's even reminiscent of matzah. He goes in a long discussion. Is it reminiscent of the Karban Pesach itself or of the matzah that was eaten with the Karban Pesach? He has a lot of arichos about this issue. But regardless, you don't weave that stuff over. The whole point is not to leave it over. So he makes a very fine distinction at the end of these pages. So I'll be honest, I don't really fully understand, but I'll tell you what he says. He says a lot of laws, we compare it to Karban Pesach. You have to finish Afikoman by Chatzos, ideally. Why? Because it's like Karban Pesach. So you see, clearly we compare it to Karban Pesach. So he says, for some halachas, he tries to make a distinction. Some halachas, we compare it to Karban Pesach, the time when you eat it. But in terms of what you're allowed to weaving over, he says, we don't compare it to Karban Pesach. It doesn't have to take all the laws of Karban Pesach. I don't fully understand the distinction. He says it's just my lack of understanding of what his distinction is. But that's how he says. The final thing, I've got 2 minutes left, but what did I not talk about? No, what is this, a shiron? Hello? A mezuzah.
Too bad we didn't hang the
mezuzah. But that's my connection. 1 second. I'm going to read you something. You want a Dvar Torah to say over your Seder? Knock your socks off, okay? Listen to this, yeah? Unbelievable. Lohoris Nassan, Reb Nassan Kestetner, who was nifted 15 years ago, and I saw one of the great Gedolim, wrote 30 volumes, 20 volumes, the Shaila's Truth. It was brilliant, brilliant. There's something, I think he was on the Eidah Charedis, a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. He doesn't need my Haskama, but he writes that he saw in the Be'er Miriam, which is a Haggadah, who brings from, now that I'm 40 years old, Mizar HaKadosh. Come on from Zohar, yeah? Zohar HaKadosh, yeah? Listen to the Zohar. You hear of a Zohar, your mouth is going to drop, okay? 10-word Zohar. Matzah mavreches l'chol sitrin bishin. Matzah gets rid of all, evil spirits. V'ovad kitotabu, that start fighting with you. Kigavna, just like deshadi mezuzah demavriach le'mazikin. Just like a mezuzah on your door gets supposed to serve an aspect of shmira to get rid of your mazikin. This is what he said. The Zohar. The Zohar he's quoting from. I'm disagreed with that. That mezuzah does not have spiritual power like that. He says the mezuzah serves as a heebie-jeebie function to get rid of mazikin. He says so too the matzah does. And listen to what he says. Hari the matzah ish b'koach shel mezuzah. Matzah is Rabbi Nosson Gestetner talking. He says matzah is the same power of mezuzah. She shmiru abayis. It protects the house. V'yei shomer atam. Why? Do pesachu leil ha shimurin. Pesach is a night where we're protected from mazikin. Ukeshameinichim in amatzah bebayis. When you hang up the matzah in your house, nimshach koach shel shmira. You continue this protection of this power of protection. Min amazikin mishiyare well Pesach. You carry over well shimurin the whole year.
That's what he's saying. He's giving you the reason.
I know. Val pizeh. Osi shaper. He says, listen to this. You're going to love this. Pasuk in the Torah says, you're going to never, beautiful Dvar Torah. Listen to this. Pasuk's three words in Parshas Bo. I think we even read it this week. I think it was a Kodesh. Mish arosam, tsuros besimosam. It says the Jewish people left out with the remnants on their back. So I always thought that meant they took matzah on their back because they need something to eat. He says, you know what that means? Shalachu Yisrael, the Jewish people took me Mitzrayim, shiare matzah, the crumbs of the matzah, why? Of the mitzvah, mishum chib of mitzvah, to remember the beauty of the matzah that they ate as they were leaving Mitzrayim. They've ate it, right? They ate it that morning. And then they took the crumbs with them to continue the mitzvah, he says. The mitzvah was finished. What are they taking the crumbs for? He says, now it makes sense. They took the crumbs, they're going into the desert. What did they need to take with them? These pieces of matzah remnants to keep them as protection in the Midbar, he says. By showing you love the matzah, it gets wards off these spirits. The upshot is that if you hold the matzah because you love the matzah, you keep your aravos, your oshanas, your lulav, because you love the mitzvah, that love of the mitzvah, keeping it throughout the whole year, shows that you love the mitzvah and the protection of the mitzvah continues throughout the whole year. I would just end with three minor sentences that I Googled it after finishing this sugya. You get a great article. You can read it on the Sfarim blog by Rabbi Eliezer Brutt, who's outstanding. His stuff is amazing. Very, 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 very wide breadth of sources he always brings. He quotes that Moses Montefiore, apparently this skula had to do specifically, in addition to hanging it from your house, on a boat. And he quotes some other sources which said that this keeping the matzah, Moses Montefiore was once on a boat and the boat started to capsize or whatever, there was a huge storm. He was afraid that the boat was going to turn over. He took a piece of his afikomen and threw it in the water and the water stopped. As I zucked. Yeah? That's what it says. Take it or leave it. Point number one. Point number two, Mr. Herman's point. Some say that you should take a piece of the matzah and burn it with the chametz that following year. Point number three, I saw. So on YU Torah, there's a shir by a rav in Toronto. I don't remember his name. I hadn't heard of him. Who has a shir. He has a lot of marmakomos on it. So I looked. He quotes the Sefer, which says, it's wild, yeah? You should take the piece of matzah and save it to next year, but not burn it with the chametz. You know what you do with it? Yeah, you know, with what? In your cholent. He says your Shabbos HaGadol cholent should have a piece of this matzah as a skula. I don't have a clue why that's from. I didn't even think about that. I guess it's mushed up. So it's matzah. That's a good kasha. It's not like the Chassidim. What? Yeah. I don't know. It's mushed up. I don't know. It's not like the Chassidim. This is what he says. It says it's a wild, wild minhag. The upshot of the Chabur is obviously see the power of the Afikoman. I'll be honest, as a pure Litvak, as someone who, if not for the fact that the Magen Avraham would have said that this was the minhag, I'm on Mr. Gutterman's side over here, is that the concept of leaving over the matzah afikomen seems to me like going against everything I was taught for the last 40 years, is that you're supposed to eat up every bite, last drop of that afikomen, but clearly the minhag developed. I don't know, I have to ask my father about this, if we're going to institute this new minhag. It's a nice idea, at least for a few days, to hang the afikomen. It's a school of it, it's what everyone says, at least keep it in your house till afterwards. I don't know. Shkoyach, shkoyach, everyone.